Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I hate people, but I did not hate Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. Great show.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. You know, outside of, I guess, the women's match.
Yeah, but I had to take a piss, so that was handy.
It is. It's handy.
Of course, when I came out, it was still going on.
What the fuck?
I know. That was rude.
That was not.
But then I had to go get a drink, so it worked out fine.
Well, yeah, because you were dehydrated from taking a piss.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Also from the fact that it is 4,000 degrees in the Palacio Golden Crusted Studio of House Addy.
Oh, yes. Well, it's to grow up.
All right, let's talk Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Opening with
the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yep.
So we had Gabriel, Slater, Barrett, Kane, Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, and Cody Rhodes.
Sheamus.
In there, and Sheamus.
Sin Cara?
Yeah.
You mentioned him?
Maybe.
Bryan?
All right.
Anyways, we got them all in there. I thought of the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, actually the better one.
I did too.
A good match, good way to open it up. Mm-hmm. You guys probably know this. I'm quite hard on matches. I don't give out even a four-star match. Never. I give up four-star matches like most people give up five-star matches. I give this 3 3/4. Mm-hmm. Second best match in the show next to the main. And I think very notable, Sin Cara went through a ladder spot that was set up to send him out on a stretcher.
Yes,
I don't know if that's meant to be permanent. It was one of, I think it was almost like three stretcher spots on this show, if I remember correctly, or at least two.
Well, there was two.
Yeah, that's right, because Miz did not go out on a stretcher, but was carried out. So there, and Sheamus also had one spot where he took a horrendous bump.
Oh.
But all the guys worked really, really hard, a lot of good bumps, not a lot of that super inventive stuff that you sometimes see.
No.
For the Shelton Benjamins and these
they
guys
tried that one spot with who was it?
It was
Barrett
Slater.
It was Slater on the ladder, almost kind of scooping him up with the ladder, and it didn't work.
It didn't work out quite right, but you know what? At the end of the day, it looked like a. At the end of the day, when you kind of looked at it in the replay, you're like, well, at least it was a dangerous spot, even if it wasn't as cool looking as they want. So you could sell it from that perspective. The winner was a huge surprise to me. Who got the Duke?
The Duke was given to Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
One of the people that I had said last week that if he was one of my picks that I would give it to.
Yeah.
Because I do think they need a baby face to have it.
Well, as like you say, only three previous baby faces have ever won and carried a Money in the Bank, RVD, and CM Punk twice. And the second one, he used it to turn heel.
That's right. So it's been a while, so it's relatively new that... the way to go with that. Looked very emotional.
The crowd went crazy when he won it.
He started, it almost looked like he was going to cry. I'm like, dude, it's not the Divas title.
No. That's true.
But, great match, as you said. The story there, and I don't know if this has something to do with, it was word come out over the last week with Sin Cara that WWE's having trouble trademarking his name.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds maybe more like just sort of red tape bullshit that they got to go through and not that there's, something being contested or something that way. But that might be a way I don't know.
They could set up a Sheamus-Sin Cara feud because he pinned him and then Sheamus put him out and got stretchered out. So it could set that up, and I'd have no problem with that. I said I didn't want Sheamus to win this because I felt he could be already put in
the world title
pitcher without having to hold the Money in the Bank, so it was better to elevate somebody. I picked Cody Rhodes, but largely just because I didn't think Daniel Bryan had a chance to get it. I mean, he's just so not their guy. I do fear that the reason they would give it to him is he'd be the first guy to fail to cash it in.
Well, there is that.
And he's a babyface on a brand where the babyface had the title going into the night, and we'll get there. But, I don't know if he's going to get a big reaction on the Tuesday tapings. In fact, there's a chance he'll come out tomorrow night's tapings in Raw and show up to the SmackDown guys well as that winner.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a huge pop when he won. And, a really good match. Just a, solid opener and kicked off the pay-per-view on a good start.
In a great way, yeah.
Yeah, and the Booker T cliche count at the end was at 27.
It was 27 at the end of the first match, was
it? 27.
Now, we should note it was Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and Booker T doing the commentating for the whole show.
Yeah.
Next up, next match.
Mark Henry versus Big Show.
And the Big Show. You know, really, I thought for what they could do, both guys had, you know, their version of their working shoes on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? These guys, Henry's in better shape than we've seen for a long time.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, Big Show's a good big man. I mean, there's certain limitations just a guy that size. There were some interesting spots like, Mark Henry drop kicking the stairs, you know,
yeah, stuff what
like
the hell that, that
outside
that
the ring that you don't expect to see.
Strange.
But you know, should good athleticism for what he could do. This isn't a great match. It's not a classic, but I give it like 2.5 stars. It was a solid, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong.
Mothra.
Mothra type, you know, matchup. And I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, not great action, but the right thing. Who got the Duke?
The Duke, of course, Mark Henry, after two big splashes, big Ultimate Warrior style, King Kong Bundy style,
Big Show
Kamala.
Did kick out of the World's Strongest Slam.
He did, yes. He kicked out of the World's Strongest Slam, so he followed up with two big splashes, similar to Kamala there. And
they were really big splashes. He got good athleticism on them. He got good height.
Yeah.
They looked really good, and... he went over clean and strong, and at the end of it, you're like, this guy's a monster.
He's a monster, and then post-match...
was even better.
He grabs a chair, Mark Henry grabs a chair, and pilmanizes the ankle of the Big Show.
Puts it on
his ankle, stomps down on it.
Yeah, goes off the top rope.
Knee drop.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not a dangerous move if done correctly. I mean, yeah, I would always worry about a guy like Henry doing it, but Henry's focused and doing well, and... And
Big Show sure as hell sold it
because what'd he say?
He said, oh, fuck.
Yes, he did. And then when the referee went to grab him, he went, get the fuck away from me.
Get the fuck away from me. And then when he was being, he said they gave him, instead of the stretcher, because he's, of course, Big Show, he got the football tractor John Deere deal going in the back. And, of course, he's like, what the hell, that was shit or something?
No,
he goes,
what the heck was that shit?
Yeah, what the heck was that shit? I remember that because it was okay to say shit, but you couldn't say hell. You had to say heck.
What the heck was that shit? He says that as he's on the cart getting grounded out. But, you know, I mean, again, it got good heel heat for Henry.
It did.
And it looked good. It sets up a stretcher match.
We speculated a stretcher match at SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah, which I think that's... buys with those characters, and that feud has, you know, that feud's been good. Arguably, I think that Mark Henry is the second hottest character in the company. He wasn't getting a huge crowd reaction, but it's good though. He's been booked well, and he's been impressive. And
second hottest character in the company that's on television.
Yes.
Woo woo woo.
Yeah. Well, he's. Yeah. He's,
I'm just.
You know. I know what you're saying.
But so. Next up, we move over to the Divas match.
Yes.
And which is funny, because I thought that the Divas match would be the buffer, the semi-main kind of buffer. But,
no, they did this totally different tonight, and it worked really well.
It did work really well.
Yeah.
But they did the Divas match. Kelly retains over...
And one of those pins out of nowhere that didn't... And a match that was sloppy.
Faye Master gets the Duke for Kelly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just...
Actually,
I mean,
got the Duchess for Kelly.
The Duchess of Queensbury?
And, anyways, I think that's all we need to say about that. The highlight of the match was probably the Bellas as they're leaving. Bree says to Nikki.
Eat.
Yeah, she doesn't eat. How could you lose to her? She doesn't eat. And she said it about 75 more times.
Yes, because that was a clever line.
Somebody wrote it for her.
I remember it. So now we go to the Raw Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Which has Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, Alex Riley, The Miz. Who else we got in this match here? Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Evan Bourne, and I'm missing one guy.
Are you sure?
I thought that was seven. Anyway, won by Alberto Del Rio.
Won by Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, R-Truth, that's who it is.
R-Truth, that's it, yes. Okay. The reason, won by Alberto Del Rio got the Duke. The Duchess of Queensbury.
Won by Alberto Del Rio got the Duke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's a Mexican Duke, isn't he?
That done good English. Well, he is the Mexican aristocrat.
There you go.
There you are. So
good. You know, some interesting spots, but not as good as the. I give it like 3.25. I give 3.75 to the other one.
I was hoping for a return of Ricardo.
Yeah, no Ricardo, but I mean Del Rio did not win, need it. Obviously, here's the problem I have with this match. Coming into the ring immediately, the little Jimmy ladder is grabbed by R-Truth. They had these tiny little ladders. I don't even know why the fuck they have them out there.
Well, you know what it was?
Because they can't be used. So why are they even there?
Well, they can be used for other things, and that was the thing. But what I thought, and everybody grabbed a ladder. That was the gimmick. As it started out, I forget who came out first. Del Rio, I think, and he grabbed the ladder playing off of what he did on the goal.
Del Rio
on
came
Monday,
out first because
right?
he came out to a wicked car, like Lamborghini.
Yeah, that
2008
Lamborghini.
120,000.
Yeah, 160,000 yellow Lamborghini, just
yeah.
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But he comes and grabs a chair playing off of what he did on Raw on Monday, and so then the next guy, Bourne, I think, or whoever, everybody grabs a chair, or a chair, a ladder, I'm
and
sorry.
And then everybody ganged up
everybody
on him at the beginning.
Ladder. Well, yeah, but it was all this thing, right? But it was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you had, like, Rey Mysterio, he couldn't even get into the pile there. There were too many ladders,
yeah.
so no one could get in anywhere, and then they all just got dispersed. It was
and then
a,
you
a
have
whole
this almost
lot
like
for nothing. It was one of those things that, hey, you know what would be really good when they're sitting in a writer's room?
Yeah.
And then no one actually goes and tries it and sees that it's retarded.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also had, then you kind of had everybody out of the ring. You had the Miz with a little Jimmy ladder, and R-Truth a little Jimmy ladder, and they're kind of almost doing like a Star Wars a lightsaber duel with the ladder thing going on here. It's just dumb as hell. And you just a lot of comedy at the beginning of the Raw Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you making with the ha-ha on a Money in the Bank ladder match? I don't understand that. So
yeah.
So it took a while for the match to get going. But there was some interesting spots later on, though.
Devin Bourne doing a really nice shooting star press off the top of a giant ladder outside.
Yep.
Onto everybody. A lot of dives. I remember there was a Evan Bourne again and Rey Mysterio doing a Hurricanrana at the same time to two
yep.
different guys. It just looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Should have noted in the SmackDown one that Gabriel doing the 450 off of a ladder.
That was a cool spot. I mean, it took a little long to set up.
Yeah.
But when it actually, you know, we executed it, it just got great spring,
it
and it was
great,
just awesome.
Yeah. And then this one, it was Kofi Kingston using the ladder to do the...
Kofi Kingston probably had the most unique spots. He did. He thinks of some innovative ways. One of the things that I always hate in the ladder match, you saw this in both of them, is when one guy's climbing the ladder, the other guy grabs him by the trunks and just pulls him down. And then starts to cram the ladder. Like, the other guy's not going to grab him. Like, the other guy's out of it. Like, he's hurt.
Yeah.
If his feet touch the ground and he's going to go, fuck, how can I recover from that?
Well, that did happen to Miz.
Well,
that
was a little bit
way.
Different.
No,
not that way.
But
that is one of the notable parts of the match. Is Miz went up for, came off, I think, like the second or third rung off the ladder, the tall ladder, not the little Jimmy one, in a spot. I can't remember who he was up there with. But
I don't remember, but he was actually hanging almost off of the briefcase itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And came all the way down. And
he landed, it looked like he landed flush, but still his knee... It looked almost like his ankle moved in the landing, but he was holding his knee afterwards. And even though it looks like you're landing flush, I mean, if you're falling, you know, 8 feet or whatever he is, and he hits the ground.
I'm pretty sure that's a work.
Well, that's the thing. Is
because he came back later.
Well, that's the thing. Let me get there. He comes down. It could you can get hurt on it. I mean, I've seen in football guys simply take a landing similar to that, where they jump and land and it'll come down and it'll hurt themselves.
Well, just ask it.
So it is difficult to ascertain whether or not this was a work. The when he got out of the ring, they were you know pulling down his knee pad. It didn't look too swollen to me. That's why I thought it was a work. It didn't look like it. I didn't see anything out of place. Mm-hmm. It didn't look swollen. But it was a really good sell job, so there's a little bit of question whether or not he was really hurt. They carried him out.
Either way.
Yeah, they carried him out, and later in the match, everybody was down. Everybody was hurt. And there was a spot where, you know, everybody had hit one of those big moves in a row, like they do, and everybody's
out of
it. He comes jumping down the aisle on the one leg.
Yeah.
So it makes you think that it was part of the work.
Yeah.
And gets in the ring, climbing up on one leg, you know, just like hopscotch.
And that
down
was the
there.
Spot where it looked like, oh, that's how he's going to win.
It looks like that's how he's going to win. An opportunist guy. The crowd was going crazy for him. And then Ray, who they've been booing all night.
Yeah, they really had a hate on for Ray.
Ray got up there and stopped him. And then Ray was about to grab the ladder, and Del Rio stopped him. And then Ray grabbed the briefcase as they're hanging, kind of hit him in the head with it a couple times, and it looked like Ray was going to win it. And then Del Rio, kind of in desperation, like a stroke of genius, grabs his mask. Ray covers his face because he would rather protect his identity than even grab the Money in the Bank briefcase. So while he's doing that, then he kind of gets knocked to the ground because he can't see anything because he's covering his face.
Yeah.
Del Rio then at that point grabs the ladder. And I actually thought that, or grabs the briefcase, I thought that finish was really, really pretty good because it played off of...
I really like that finish.
Yeah, yeah. It was just good psychology behind that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a spot. And quite frankly, I mean, it never even dawned on me that... for that to happen, and so I really liked that. I thought that was really creative and a good way to end. And Alberto Del Rio, who we would see later, wins the Raw Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they had an interview with him backstage where he goes, you know, of course I won, but I shouldn't even have had to be in it. I won the three-way leading into this. I should have already been number one contender.
Yeah.
So
then he said, isn't my destiny. The briefcase isn't his destiny. It's merely a formality.
Yeah.
The destiny is a WWE title.
Yeah. So I think a lot of speculation. I mean, I believe on last week's show I said it's all but a foregone conclusion that Del Rio is likely to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, but you know, I got no problem with it. Just because it's what you see coming doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it or isn't the right thing.
Well, I was going to say, just because that's, you know, sometimes it's the right thing, and that's what this was. So
yeah.
So then that brings us to SmackDown, the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Christian against Randy Orton, and if Orton gets disqualified, Christian wins the belt.
Yeah, or counted out, I believe, right?
No, they just said disqualified. Okay. Yeah, so.
And of course, the angle leading into this was that on Friday, Christian did everything, because of course Orton's had the management anger issues.
Anger management issues
in the past. So.
Not management anger issues.
No, well, maybe he's had that too.
Yes.
Yeah, but the point being that he was being needled. I mean, Christian was doing everything he could to get underneath his skin, right? And that was pretty good. The problem with it was that it was only a one-week SmackDown build that Christian was doing everything he could to make this guy snap and be so angry that he would do something stupid at the.
That's right.
And that's why I think that it was a little bit weak. The match itself went about 25 minutes. Good match. Terrible finish.
Shitty finish.
And then good post-match finish.
Yeah. The finish saw Christian spit in... Randy Orton's face.
Randy Orton was just about to pin him. I think he had already hit him with...
No apple, though.
No apple. But I think he had already hit him with an RKO at that point. And Christian was just about out of it. He's barely on his feet. He kind of looked up, saw him, and hawked a loogie right in his face. As like a, oh, God, he's, you know, trying to set him off.
Well, at this point, they had both kicked out of each other's finishers.
Yeah.
Orton kicked out of the kill switch, and Christian kicked out of the RKO.
A cool-looking RKO, too. He did like a backbreaker into an RKO, reverse RKO.
Oh, yeah. He did that that gut wrench.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, into that. That was really cool. But, and so he spit, and then, of course, that causes Orton to snap and starts beating on him, and the referee's counting five, and we're going, no, don't end it like this. This is really stupid if this ends it
exactly. And then he's just punching, and
then he gets up and looks at the ref like, oh, good, glad it didn't end that way. And then he turns around and kicks him in the nuts and gets disqualified.
Yeah.
So now Christian is
It really pissed
champion.
Me off because it felt like they were building towards him. It felt like the storyline should have been at that point, okay, wait, I just about lost it. Let me calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And then next time he comes that much closer doing something stupid. And then next time, and then finally he snaps.
Right.
And that's the storyline in the match. Instead, it's like, I'm pissed off. Okay, I'm going to punch him. And okay, the referee pulled me off. And fuck you, I kick you in the nuts. And what is he, Cartman? Like, it was just...
Oh, maybe that's what they were doing. It was Rochambeau-ing.
Yeah. I don't know. I just... It was lame.
Mm-hmm.
I expect Christian to win it like this. But... just not like that. It's just there just wasn't. It was just
well, we
all
talked
of a sudden,
last week, and that's what I expected. As if Christian was going to win, I called it the Kendrick win at the time, and that's what
but
it was.
I don't even mind that. If I felt like Christian pushed him to the point where he really was going to do that, then you'd be like, well, Christian was clever.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't beat him.
A genius?
But he was clever.
Clever.
You know, but this way it just felt like Orton's a moron, and who gives a shit? It's just out of nowhere.
And then he beats the crap out of him afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah, he goes out of the ring, fucking RKO's him through the table a couple times.
Break.
It doesn't break. Goes back and does it again, just keeps on beating on him.
Yeah.
And you're like, if he had snapped like that during the match and the referee called it off and disqualified him, then you'd be going, ah, it makes sense. It's, you know, he pushed him to that.
How would we
and
be
this
going?
This is ah.
Ah.
Or, but,
the world's most dangerous viper.
The world's most dangerous viper.
He did. He put him down and then he turned around, he punched the ringside barrier there and he went, dah!
Yeah, he did, yeah. But, yeah, it's just
tremendous.
Post-match was a good beatdown, but it should have been the finish of the match.
Yes, I agree. The only problem with that, as I said to you, is that guys go through that all the time, and there's never a disqualification. So, to me, had he done that, and that caused a disqualification,
but you know what?
I would have...
Well, I'll say this. If he had done it once and they didn't disqualify him, maybe. But they do it the second time, the referee's like, I got no choice now, I got to throw it out.
I don't think so.
Plus, you can sit there and go, hey, you know what? The referee had a bad call the month before because Christian had his leg underneath the rope.
There, yeah.
And I got to do it here. I know usually we don't, but we got to do it here because I'm under the pressure from
one
from
of the other things. And that's the other thing. And I didn't
There could have been a way you could have done it. But even then, he could have brought out a chair, hit him on the back after hitting him through the table. Like, just the idea that he snapped and went too far.
Now, did you notice, because I didn't, and that continuity is so important, was it the same ref?
You know what? I
honestly didn't even know. I didn't even think to look until we were just
talking
about it.
I didn't think to look either.
So anyway, that's Christian, your new
But you know what? If it wasn't
champ.
The same ref, then it should have been, and that would have just added to the story.
Right, yeah.
But there's just ways to do it.
Yeah. But anyway, Christian, your new world heavyweight champ, and that feud must continue.
Yeah. I guess
and
you're going to
now that you've got show... And Mark Henry, with that feud continuing, it does make sense to do that. I don't know if you possibly throw Sheamus into the mix as a three-way at SummerSlam, but...
I don't think you do. I think there's a couple ways to go at it. Number one, you probably think it needs to be some sort of gimmick match where anything goes.
No.
So I think so.
I think so. If you've got a scratcher match on SummerSlam, I don't want another gimmick.
Oh, who gives a shit? Highway to Hell, every match had a gimmick, and it worked. So I don't care about that.
I'll remember you said that.
No, I don't care about that. If they don't do it every month,
they do it every month. That's what I'm telling you. We just came up with an Extreme Rules where everything goes.
Okay,
two ladder match pay-per-view here.
Well, and between that, you had Over the Limit, and what did they have?
They had some shitty wrestling. No, they have the Kiss My Foot match. Was that the Over the Limit?
No, it wasn't. No, that was Extreme
That was Capital
Rules.
Punishment, was it?
Capital Punishment or something, yeah. The point is, they don't do it every month. So I don't mind. I don't mind if you have the stretcher match and then you have a cage match or Last Man Standing because it's the blow-off to the feud. So
is
it's
it
fine.
Though? Is it, though?
That's the thing. Well, that's the thing. Is it? You also got something else to think
because
of.
Because then
you're talking about Randy Orton.
Hell in the Cell coming up, too.
Here's the thing. You're talking about Mark Henry and Randy Orton, and that's logical.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that for the title, though, because you do have Daniel Bryan, a face with the briefcase, and you now got a heel champion.
That's true.
And you don't want to see Daniel Bryan versus Mark Henry as a heel champion. So
you don't?
No. Oh. That would... I don't believe the dynamic would work.
No.
Brian's brilliant, but no, I mean, Abyss Kendrick didn't work, right? So, at some point it doesn't work, and that, I think that crosses that line. So, yeah, I mean,
I just think you've got possibilities. I mean,
you've got possibilities,
if I'm doing it as
Sheamus out there
as crazy as it sounds, and as, what I may look to do is, Orton, getting his quote-unquote last chance at his rematch, and then he goes to the back of the line. That's what a heel would do. At SummerSlam, Christian retains, can move on. I don't know who you put him against for the next two or for the next month for the September pay-per-view. Maybe you put Sheamus in there, but then you go back to Orton and you do the blow-off Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
That's what I would do, because to me, if you do this at SummerSlam and end it, and I know I realize that they're having too many matches.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't have to. That's why you can do you can do something else. You can do Sheamus versus Orton for a number one contendership. Big Show versus Mark Henry and Daniel Bryan versus. But I can't see a SummerSlam Daniel Bryan versus.
Christian.
No,
I can't either. But I'm just, you know, it's one of those things that, who knows, maybe you do that in September.
It really does.
And that's your buffer.
I really,
you do Orton, and then you have the
Daniel
Orton.
Daniel Bryan's kind of screws everything up, because it's like,
he's got a whole year to cash it in.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean. It's just because you go, you have all these possibilities with the guy with the briefcase, and then I keep on going, yeah, but they won't do that, because they gave him the briefcase, but does that mean they believe in him? But maybe this means they do. I mean, I hope so, but...
Hey, you know what? The whole thing with the way things have been going is, as we talked about, if this is a shift in WWE creative, in that they're starting to get on a different track, right? If they're willing to try other things, maybe they are behind Bryan for this. Right, I mean, we talked about that years ago when Punk won his second.
Yeah.
You know, joking about, oh, well, here's the one that cashes in and doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Right? Because Punk really didn't have any momentum, either time that he'd won it. I mean, a little bit the first time, but not so much at all the second time he won it.
No, it was really surprising
and he did.
That second one.
I mean, it's going to have to come a time where that guy doesn't get it. You know, because then it's just becoming too much of a cliche here now. But maybe Booker can get involved. But there's going to have to come a time. I don't know with Daniel Bryan if that's the guy. It just depends on how they push him or if they push him, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely a good dynamic. I just think, to me, getting back to the original point, is I think you finish Christian and Orton up at Hell in the Cell. Because if you finish it now...
I think storyline-wise, the way Orton got screwed to not have him be in the title match,
well, I'm just looking
SummerSlam
at it,
is going to be very difficult.
I'm just looking at it realistically that, what are you going to do? You're going to have Orton and Henry then?
But I can tell you this from seeing the tweets on Twitter.
The twits?
There was a few of those.
Yes.
But seeing that, people are sick of this feud. Like, that's enough already.
I'm at that point, too, and I mean, I can hear the groans with me saying, you know, let's extend it to
Well, I don't mind
October.
That, because at that point it can be fresh, because you've taken a few-month break. You can build the storyline.
Well, that's
but
what
I just
you
can't
have
see
to
there's
do.
Any way Orton isn't in the title match.
You have to take a break from actual one-on-one matches, and that's why I think maybe you do a three-way at SummerSlam, and then maybe, maybe Sheamus gets it.
I don't see a three-way.
I'm just saying, but I mean, I'm just trying to think of ways to keep it fresh so you can have that one-on-one feud blow-off match in October.
Let's do this. Let's say this. Daniel Bryan, really, if he's not cashing it in,
Riley
needs to be in a
Jimmy
fairly high-profile match at SummerSlam, because you need to get the guy over and make him see dangerous and. You need to have him in something. So who would he face?
I don't. Do you need to do that though?
You need to have him at SummerSlam. Yeah.
Do you?
If he has the money in the bank, you need to.
Year?
Pardon me.
What did Miz do at SummerSlam last year?
I don't know. I probably faced MVP.
You think? I'm just saying. I mean,
no.
Was that I? But I mean, Miz won the Money in the Bank last year, right?
Okay. No. We'll look this up, folks. But I think it's a little bit different. For one thing, he was on Raw. So he's already having more, he'd been around longer, he had more momentum at the time, he was on a show with more,
viewers?
Viewers, thank you. Sorry, I'm trying to look at you as you type this up to fill space here, but I'm certain that Miz, that's right, Miz wanted to be in that Nexus versus the WWE match.
Right.
Remember, he was talking about that?
That's right, but he wasn't.
But he wasn't in the match, no. But he had a... We kept on going, oh, he's going to be the guy to come out. He's going to be the special replacement. He's going to be, you know... And he even come out and came out during the event and cut a great promo.
That's right.
Is what he did.
That's what he
so
did.
So he had... But that's fine
for me.
So
he did have a role.
Miz.
That's fine. No, he had a role. That's fine. I'm just...
Daniel Bryan really needs something. So who would you put him against at SummerSlam? If you're doing this.
Sheamus.
I thought you put Sheamus in the three-way.
Well, yeah, but then you said that was stupid. No,
no, I just say I don't see it myself. I didn't say it was stupid. You have a lot of stupid things, but that wasn't it.
I don't know what you do.
I mean, is Cody Rhodes? You know what
Is Cody Rhodes high enough on the card for that? I mean,
I don't know.
Would be what you're looking at right now is Cody Rhodes, or if you're looking at something else. And we're not even there.
Ezekiel Jackson and that belt means nothing. So
no, and I don't want to go there unless Zeke loses to Cody, and a Cody defends the Intercontinental title or the against
it's Money in the Bank.
I wouldn't do that because
it doesn't make any sense.
Because
Daniel Bryan would be like, why would I give up? That belt's not as worth as much as this briefcase, so why would I do that?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. So if you look at maybe you do Del Rio against Bryan.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Winner is the WWF champion. We'll get there, but...
Yeah, you could. Or you could have him face somebody. I mean, Big Show and Mark Henry are in Raw and SmackDown, right? And it doesn't matter. Big Show's on Raw.
Yeah, Big Show's on Raw. And Mark
and that's why they've been on both shows, actually. So you could put him up against, I don't know, you could put him up
against R-Truth or something like that. Bryan against The Miz.
You could put Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, R-Truth, you know, whatever. Yeah, you could put him against almost anybody there. So
When does Daniel Bryan cash in?
See, that's the thing. Again, it's difficult to... That depends on who's going to be the champion, right? I mean, does it, I don't see him cash it. Like, if Mark Henry got the belt, he's not going to cash it in.
Why not?
If Orton has the belt, he's not going to cash it in. Sheamus or Christian? Yeah. So it kind of depends on what their plans are for the World Heavyweight belt, who they're thinking long-term, because I still can't see Christian being a long-term guy. Though I like the idea of Christian now, like I say, disqualifying himself and doing all sorts of bullshit, holding onto that belt for a while.
Honky-tonk,
and then Edge coming out and trying to talk him out of it and him doing something dastardly, you know. And and I mean, I think he could have a lot of momentum as a heel champion now.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, and he's been, and we're saying this, I'm not sure if he's making more money than he's ever made before now because business is down. But he's in a higher spot. I mean, he's been in like six main or semi-main event spots in a row, like in pay-per-views. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, it's you know, a hell of a run. Despite that, I still just... Does Vince believe in him yet?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
And do you do Del Rio... you know, cashing in on the other guy, on the SmackDown guy. I mean, he has a bone to pick with Christian theoretically, but now they're both heels, and it just
that part doesn't make sense. And
it doesn't make sense either.
So who knows? But I mean, there's lots of possibilities.
That's the good thing, right?
So that's it.
Like it when you have an idea of what's going to happen. Sometimes that and it's the right thing for business, and you see it, you don't mind it. On the other hand, it's also nice to not be able to fucking guess every little thing and have them have options. And that's what's interesting. And they aren't in a good place like that right now.
And that will lead us right to the main event.
Yeah.
The match that really this pay-per-view was built around.
Yes.
And the last couple of weeks, the last 3 weeks really of build. CM Punk and John Cena. Punk comes out first. With his new one night shirt, that even said best in the world on the back and Chicago 7/17/11 there. So,
and he was over.
Oh God, he was over, and they kept his entrance lasted like 5 minutes.
Sitting in the ring, soaking up the crowd. Well, they had like an hour at this point, so you're wondering, you know, you're thinking, yeah, I mean, you're kind of wondering what. The storyline is going to be if there's going to be a post-match angle. I mean, I was worried about... I said this to you. I had the worry that it was going to be the doofus son-in-law coming out to save the belt, not a Money in the Bank winner, because he's a member of the family, and he was insulted by Punk.
That's right.
And I think it would have gotten a huge pop. I don't think the crowd would have necessarily shit all over. I think they would have accepted it. So I was worried about that. I didn't want to see that happening. It didn't, luckily.
No, it didn't. So they had a one of the matches of the year.
It's going to be up there. When we're talking about matches of the year at the end of the year. It was good. A lot of good chain wrestling. A lot of a slow build towards high-impact moves. Not dangerous moves, but high-impact finishing-style moves. Several of them, people kicking out. The drama of the crowd absolutely be on the edge of their seats, all standing up, chanting along, cheering for Punk.
Yeah.
Most hostile crowd for Cena since RVD at One Night Stand, or maybe Edge at SummerSlam in Toronto a few years ago. Very hostile, anti-Cena crowd with a few kids and women, but not many cheering for him.
Well, they started, the kids and women started the Let's Go Cena, CM Punk dueling chant a little bit, about 20 minutes into the match.
But yeah.
It didn't sustain itself, essentially. Just too many Punk, obviously, fans. And you know.
You had Vince McMahon, who had shown up with Johnny Ass.
Yes.
John Laurinaitis. You had said he's the new... Yeah, and a lawyer to try and negotiate a contract with Punk during the show, but they didn't really show that. They just said that they're in talks.
He's the new Briscoe Patterson.
He's the new Briscoe Patterson. He's the new stooge. And so I had said, I was worried that it makes sense. I mean, the STFU, and you get the, you do the STFU, and you do the Vince McMahon,
ring
the fucking bell, right? And I was worried they're going to do that, and they started to, and I almost fucking threw something.
Ass runs down to go get them to ring the bell.
Yeah.
And Cena runs out and just...
On the STFU.
Takes off the
after,
STFU,
yeah,
runs
like almost
after
40 minutes.
Johnny Ace and just pastes them. Punches him in the face, knocks him down, stares at Vince and says, it ain't going to happen this way.
Yeah, he says, it ain't going to happen this way. I can beat this guy by myself.
Yeah, you beat
his exact words.
Yeah.
Right? Then he gets in the ring immediately, GTS.
Yeah, go to sleep, and 1-2-3, and CM Punk wins the title.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vince just stands there and doesn't quite know what to do. Then he goes and he grabs Jerry Lawler's headset.
Yeah, cut the music, and then you hear him go in the back. I want Alberto Del Rio. Tell him he's got to cash in the bell.
Yeah, tell Alberto to come out. He's going to cash it,
right?
Yeah.
So because you know he's got him for another hour or so before his contract's up. So he comes running out, which is somehow I'm at this point in myself, I'm thinking to myself, it's like how UFC and Strikeforce, all these companies, you always hear them say the fighter has the last fight in their contract, but if they're still the champion, it automatically rolls over to one more fight.
Right.
But I guess that's real life. It's not part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But Del Rio comes out. Punk hits him with the belt and then runs out through the crowd.
He kicks him.
Yeah,
he kicked him in the head. He kicked him in the head.
He kicked him in the head.
And knocked him down and then looked at Vince and smiled and waved.
He's such great facial expressions.
And grabbed the belt and went through the crowd. The people's champ. Should note Colt Cabana in the front row.
Yeah, they
Punk tried his damnedest to get him on camera, but they didn't do it.
We saw him. But,
yeah, on a side shot.
But they didn't mention him.
Punk was mugging to get Colt Cabana some huge camera time there,
yeah.
and they didn't. They just shot from the side and got to see a little bit of it, but not a lot. But
no. Regardless,
Punk goes through the crowd, blows Vinny a kiss, and goes in as the...
Yeah, exactly.
The
I'm through the crowd now. You can't get to me. You can't cash that in. I'm not coming back. It's done.
That's right.
Basically.
And the announcers did make a point of saying the referee never rang the bell.
Yes,
so
that's
Alberto
right.
never technically cashed it in.
Yeah.
And the pay-per-view...
Which, they did that with Swagger, and they did that with Miz many times where it looked like they cashed it in. They didn't.
Right.
So but I mean, that's continuity is important.
So important. So important there. But if you're... so then the... the show goes off the air with Vince, just Punk going through the crowd. Vince stands in the ring, a tight shot of Vince's face there. And then the show goes off the air.
It goes off the air with Vince, but that's fine.
Yeah. After the show,
Punk is standing in the
crowd. Mention, after the show goes off the air, Vince kind of takes his time going up the walkway to the back. Johnny Ass gets up. Johnny Ass gets the help to the back. are helped up to the back, gets to Vince at the top of the ramp, and Vince punches ass and lays him out again.
Well, hopefully it's a shoot.
Yeah.
Johnny Ass, who in real life does not have nearly the power he once did. Thank God.
Yes, yes. Well, we'll get there too.
Yeah, we're not done. Also, Punk in the crowd, he's holding up the belt. The crowd's standing around him, going crazy, reminiscent of DDP doing it. And there is, that's your real people's champ right there. That's it. That's the voice of the voiceless, the real people champ.
I did like that. The voice of the voiceless. I hope they run with that. Actually,
well, yeah. I don't know if this pay per view was as good as that final segment, or anything in this was as good as that final segment on Raw, because that was so goddamn good. But this was a very good pay per view. Pay per view of the year so far.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely ahead of anything I think ROH or TNA's done or WWE. It was pay-per-view of the year last year. I'd say the outcomes now, but I'd say if I'm by the replay, absolutely.
It's worth seeing, definitely.
It's a great moment. There's not a bad match except for the one, like you said, that's okay because you might need to take a piss and... during the Bellows match, it's short. It was 2 minutes, right?
No, it was like 5. It went on way too long.
Okay.
You know.
Well, whatever. I mean, maybe you need to barbecue. That's what JR was doing there in that match.
Yeah, JR doing some barbecue there.
So, that's all right. Good event. I really enjoyed it. And I love that we don't know what's going on. But I can't wait to find out. I'm really
geeked for Raw because that's just it. You know, we weren't
intending
to
record another show, but if Raw and SmackDown have interesting enough stuff, we might have to figure something out here.
Mm-hmm.
Our schedules are really, really difficult this week to do that, but we might have to figure something out because this Raw, I mean, I kept on, ever since the last Raw, I've been sitting there counting down the minutes for this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You're texting me last night, 20 past 12, going, just got home from having a few beverages, and I'm so pumped for Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
And I was too, you know? And now I have that same feeling for Raw tomorrow night. And it's been many years since I've had that feeling watching wrestling.
Yeah. No, it's been a long time. I can't think of a Raw that I'm looking forward to more than this one. Right now CM Punk is your WWE champion. He's left with the belt. Hopefully he makes good on the promise to get rid of the stupid spinner belt.
I wouldn't even think he gets his own. It's Punk. Part of his gimmick or his personality would be to bring back the classic one, the ones that the
winged
Shawn
Eagle.
Michaels,
the winged eagle belt, which would be awesome.
Bret Hart and all that's these the one guys. That on,
how
that's,
I met How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Mother a couple of years ago on that show, they had a belt for amongst the friends. The gimmick of the show was the premise of the show was if you were going to have a three-way. You got the belt.
Oh,
after
really?
Your three-way. And Neil Patrick Harris, Barney, pulls out the belt, and it's the fucking Winged Eagle WWF
belt.
That's
because it probably is the best design belt I can ever think of. I don't know if I've ever liked one more than that.
No, I definitely haven't. That's, that is the belt.
I thought the first time I saw, I liked the first time I saw Steve Austin with his own personalized skull belt.
The smoking skull belt?
Okay, that was one time. That was cool, one time. But
And the belt they had after the classic Winged Eagle one that was around the smoking skull time, that one wasn't bad. That was just kind of an updated version of it. They did the Intercontinental title at the same time, too, just updated version. But I think those belts from... Because really they came from about, 1986, 1987, for 10 years there to about 1997. Those the Intercontinental, the WWF title and the tag titles stayed the same for 10 years. And I think that's part of what it is.
Well, it was a great design and classic people who you respect held the belt and hopefully they bring that one back. That to me and within his character.
And Jim Neidhart.
Well, hey, you know what? Don't. You may never know when he's going to show up and start yelling at you.
I know. It's his fanny pack.
Yeah. No shirt on.
No shirt on his bike. All right. Well, so Money in the Bank, as we said, buy the replay, folks. Definite thumbs up show.
Yeah, I'll give this about Raw tomorrow. 8.5, 9 out of 10. Like, it's very good.
Raw tomorrow. Can't wait to see.
So
let's talk
about what's up for the big players tomorrow out of this.
Yeah, we've got Raw. We've got, something. Vince, obviously, going to be on the show. Vince with Johnny Ass probably flanking him. You've got Alberto Del Rio, the Money in the Bank winner, who
yeah, what do you do with him? He doesn't have somebody to challenge except for Christian, right?
Right.
Theoretically. And like we've said before, they could just award a belt to him.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, is that if they award the belt, and as we've speculated...
If they do it like a Hunter, right?
And as we speculated, the Punk comes back, and that leads to Punk against Del Rio as, champion versus, the one that Vince is his crowned champion versus the actual lineage champion. Title for title, whatever, that would merge those two. You've got that option.
How long is Punk gone? 6 weeks, 6 months. There's so many variables. Is he actually gone?
Well, what
you
do
got,
you do?
You got Alberto Del Rio, and what do you do with him? You've got Vince McMahon and his reaction.
Cena's
you got
fired,
Cena.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But if they pull the same bullshit as they pulled with the Nexus firing... that will be bad. On the other hand, I don't see how you can really fire him.
I can't see how you didn't learn from that mistake.
Well, they've all but acknowledged that they did.
Well, exactly. And even on Punk's promo, said it. Don't worry about being fired because he'll be back, next week anyway. So they can't do that. So now the possibilities are such. And we get to the point where, my faith in the company gets better every week.
Yeah.
You know, right now. And because I was tweeting with some people before the show started, I want Punk to leave with the belt. It's the what I would do. It's what I think makes sense. But... part of me just thinks it's going to be Cena 1-2-3, clean in the middle, or some sort of screw job, or something that's going to ruin it for me, that's going to take this to
one-and-done. I'm talking about Montreal Screwjob, I'm talking about Triple H, I'm talking about all these things they didn't do, that I didn't want them to do, but I could have seen them doing.
Right. And exactly, and they didn't. They went with what I think is maybe consensusly considered the right move, the most interesting move. Because now, what do you do? Like, as I said, do you have Punk go to that Massachusetts Wrestling Federation, right?
Or, is there a working agreement with an ROH? I don't think so, but we don't know. Business is business. It's not impossible.
Can they grab an indie? Can Punk show up at an indie event with the cameras rolling and go? As I said, if John Cena's dad is still promoting, that's the logical choice. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that would be really cool to show him defending the quote unquote the WWF title on the indies.
Good thing about this, what I like is that Cena didn't, even though Cena, like Punk, virtually won clean, you really can't say, but on the other hand, Cena didn't get really screwed. Or made to look weak, like because he had him in the hold. Would Punk have submitted to that STFU, which he had been in earlier and gotten out of a couple times? Would he, at this time, have he gotten him if they hadn't gotten involved in the match?
Right.
But on the other hand, as soon as it was over, he had the advantage. He walked in the ring, hit the GTS. Punk didn't do anything to screw Cena, so Punk wins clean virtually. But Cena, on the other hand, doesn't really lose clean, but not in a way that I'm pissed off. If you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's really fantastic booking, really well done, came across good.
And the reason this was, and I was just about to say, that part of the fantastic booking of this is that during the match, we're throwing out all these possibilities. Does Cena just pass out from the pain?
Yeah.
Does Punk pass out from the pain? Do they do this screw job? What's going to happen here?
Because
then when Cena came out and punched Johnny Ass, you were starting not to like it.
As soon as I saw them do the ring the bell thing, I was like, "Off! They're doing the Montreal. I'm so sick of that.
Yeah,
so sick of it."
But that actually played into the story, right?
As soon as they didn't do with it what they've done a million times, and and that worked out. You know, I didn't mind it by then. I was about to tweet, you know, how lame this was, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, and we were throwing out possibilities during the match. They could do this, what if they did that, and that's what made it exciting, and that's what made it the guessing game, and that's where the well books, because any of the possibilities would have been good.
And that's what makes tomorrow exciting, because we could sit here and come up with 500, I'm probably not even exaggerating, interesting things they could do on tomorrow night's Raw.
Yeah.
And I have to think they're going to come up with something good, because there's a certain feeling when it's like you have a storyline that's going well, and the momentum is there. You don't have to work as hard to think of something good for it.
Well, part of me hopes that, and as I said, my faith slowly returning back into the company, is that they already know what they're doing.
My faith is probably being lower than yours, and mine is returning as well.
But they have to already know. Tomorrow's got to have already been booked.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? If they, by doing today, they know what they're doing tomorrow already. And so that gives me some hope, because everything I said that they've been doing recently has been good. The big story, the big question, I guess, is now where does this go with CM Punk? You know, what do they do with the title? What is Cena, of course, fired? You've got Alberto Del Rio. So you've got all these players here that are still, you know, in the mix. And it's exciting. So,
and you know what
I
else?
I can't wait for
this. This still could lead to Daniel Bryan theoretically cashing it in against CM Punk and us getting that dream match that we've been wanting.
Yeah,
you know, there's just a lot of great possibilities, and all of a sudden the company's mind seems open enough that they could do one of these great things.
And you know, what's really funny, actually, it's really kind of funny, is that this is just a rehash. When you think about it at a high level, it's really a rehash of an anti-authority angle.
Yes.
You know, but...
And yet fresh.
It seems fresh. Exactly. Because of the way it's being portrayed.
I sent that... I said something like that. I don't know if I said that in a text to you or a tweet, or that I've seen anti-authority angles a million times, and yet this felt fresh because CM Punk was fresh.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And it's not the same... Like, they did it a million times, like you say. I mean, you had Vince versus Austin, and then after that you had, you know, Cena versus... Bischoff, and you've had, you know...
Oh, and just Bischoff doing everything, screwing everyone, and, like, and you had, yeah...
A million and one times, you've just seen it happen. And it just was not fresh, and they kept on going back to it, and it was never put business on fire again.
No.
And you would see it in indie federations were doing their versions of it.
Oh, of course, but they just do whatever. But no, this seems really fresh. I'm really excited for Raw. We'll see. Raw last week, 2.9. Rating.
Yeah.
Do you read much into that at all, or what are you thinking there?
You know, it's funny, because there was so much buzz around Punk, and then Punk's not on the next show, and it's on a holiday, and the rating's really, really down, and I just kind of think I don't read much into it. I suspect they get a 3.4, 3.5 tomorrow. I think they'll have a good rating.
You know, I'm thinking so... As well, hoping so. I'm sure Punk.
And
is
there also was,
so.
I think, even last week, even though Punk had been shooting 2 weeks before, and we heard Punk was going to have a confrontation with Vince. I was not trusting of them at that point, because it's like there's so many ways they could have done to screw with it. Because every time you want to put your faith in the company for the last several years, every time you start to, you feel like they kick you in the nuts.
Well, and you'll like it, but the thing is. I look at it like, part of me, again, because Punk seems so fresh, and I got a couple ways to go with this. I mean, as I've said before, you know, Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass."
Yeah.
From that promo in 1996, summer of 1996, right? 2 years later, you know, they were beating Nitro in the ratings.
Yeah, it took a while.
That being said... NWO was hot on the other side in 96, the summer there. So, I mean, wrestling was still hot. But when you do that, I mean, it takes a while. And when you look at a shift to the Attitude Era, even, you know, that didn't even happen right after Austin 316. So when you look now and you've got Punk here and you're getting a 2.9, I mean, hell, when we were talking a couple weeks ago or a month ago or a couple months ago now, you know, 2.9... is a damn scary number.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking now, that's under 3. And that's a non-holiday, non-nothing, but under 3.
I mean, we've been doing this show, 4 or 5 months now?
Since the beginning of March, I guess. So, yeah.
Not even that long, yeah.
End of February, beginning of March, yeah.
So 4 months or something like that.
Yeah.
We said a year and a half ago, when we were talking to each other, speculating, that they were going to be at like a 2.3 by the summer.
By Labor Day, we're talking.
You know?
Because
we just didn't like what the company was doing. And it's the same thing. If you talk about how it's a long build to build it back up, maybe it's a long fall to fall down. And just because you have something that's hot for a couple of weeks, there's still a lot of damage to undo. And I think that's kind of... I think that's kind of what we see in that rating.
I just wanted to point out, though, the I don't want to say the irony, but the fact is, the way things are going right now, they're at a 2.9, yet I'm not concerned.
No.
Whereas if you told me in, April that, in July they're going to be at a 2.9, I'd be like, oh, shit.
Well, here's the thing. It's like I look at UFC and I go, they do like a 1.6 for their countdown shows, but they can do 600 or 800,000 buys off of that.
Or 400.
WWE would be happy with a 400.
Yes, they would.
Even if UFC's down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to me about whether or not you're bringing in new people, because they had that chance with The Rock. They blew it. They didn't do a good job. But now they're doing a good job. So can you make the current hardcore audience that is following you that 2.9, are you giving them something that they are getting enthusiastic about?
That's right.
And you are. And if you're doing that, then that's a base you can build off of and go further.
What that is, and what that base is when you've got something cool, and you've got something that you can give those hardcore fans something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Okay, and what that was is in 1997, and we're talking about bring it to be proud of, I would proudly wear, I went and I got my Austin 316 t-shirt, and I would proudly wear that out in public, and people would go, and people would go, Austin 316, what's that? Oh, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's a, WWF wrestler, you gotta see this guy, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And there were people like that, and that's how things spread.
Or NWO shirts.
Shirt. I had an NWO shirt. I had the Austin 316 shirt. I mean, you hear about the American Idol contestant there, James Durbin.
Yeah.
Who's friends with Jericho. He go on stage for his latest concert wearing a CM Punk shirt last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things like that, that's how these things get started.
Yeah.
Right? Is that you give the hardcore fans something that they're not ashamed to let other people know.
And a lot of that is, don't give me something that's insulting my intelligence. Don't give me Cena, crying in the ring about he's going to be there for his mom's birthday, and then he hugs Randy Orton and leaves, and then is there for several weeks afterwards. Those type of things that insult your intelligence have made it difficult. And a kid's character like Cena, frankly, has insulted our intelligence for a long time. And I'm not saying that the kids shouldn't be watching wrestling. What I am saying is that when they come out there and he says to CM Punk, I'm coming to Chicago to kick your ass, and you don't bleep it, it doesn't need to be a constant, like I say. You don't need to push the envelope all the time, but you need to have the freedom to go wherever the story goes you. And if that's a little more mature, you need to have characters who are comfortable going there and a company that's comfortable going there.
I think you just have to give, the company the license to be able to do that. And
don't do it just for the sake of doing it, like
well,
TNA
was
trying.
Don't be Howard Stern. Well, that's the Vince Russo special, right? Don't be the Howard Stern show pushing
that's not
the
what
envelope
Howard Stern's ever been about,
and pushing the envelope and doing all that bullshit that you
just,
do.
No, don't and, do it just to do it, though.
And just do it just to do it, which is, as I said, that was
that's
your
what,
that was
that's
your 90s, that was your Attitude Era South Park Howard Stern bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
That you do shock jock shit.
This is it. Howard Stern would do it not just to do it. He would do it because it was part of his show organic. Then you get the shock jocks who are trying to capture his momentum and would copy it and do it just to do it and not have any intelligence.
He was a shock
jock,
so let's not even...
Well, no, he's the king of shock jocks, but that wasn't his whole thing. If he was just doing that, it wouldn't have worked because everybody else started doing it. There was more to it, but nobody else got that. And it's the same idea.
Nobody else but you mean?
Oh, yeah, nobody. Yeah, you're right. Nobody follows fucking Howard Stern.
Who?
You're an idiot. But... Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely, this is something where, like I say, I don't know where they're going, and it's not just CM Punk. I don't know where they're going with Alberto Del Rio. I don't know where they're going with Daniel Bryan. There's a lot of things that interest me, and then you have that one character who I really, really associate with. And, you know, it's okay for me, even if he's gone for a while, because it's interesting, and that's all I want.
Well, what they need to do, though, is it's a fine line now. See, this is, and it's a weird angle in that you've got to do that line, but then you've also, you say absence makes the heart grow fonder, which is true, but there's such momentum right now.
Yeah.
That the longer he's gone, you risk just losing that momentum, right? So, I mean, when you're talking maybe 6 weeks, I don't even, you know, you still got to be able to mention him. Like, yeah. I look to the best, honestly, to me, the way the way that works the best here is to figure out a way, and I go off the top of my head, I don't know what that way is, but you have to have CM Punk on television, not every week, but maybe 3 out of 4 weeks, or every other week.
Like you say, camera following him at an indie show.
Yes. I don't like the indie show so much, because here's where I'm going. I mean, a couple times, yes.
Or
but
a sit-down interview at his home.
When I talk about Sting...
Yeah.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin, when they got to their hottest...
Yeah.
It was by not working. Right?
But they were both in the arena.
And they were both around and in the arena. But if you take that and you can make Punk... relevant without him taking bumps, and all he's got to do is travel once a week, then everybody, you know, it's the compromise that everybody basically gets what they want.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the other thing that I just thought of here now, okay, and here's your SummerSlam match, because CM Punk may very well have to be at SummerSlam. And the reason I say that is...
Does he have to have a match?
You have to defend the title every 30 days, or you will be stripped of the belt. Do you not?
Well, but yeah,
nah,
but you know
what? I'm just saying that's a rule.
Okay, but within their logic of how they've created this, he's left. He doesn't care. If they strip it, they still doesn't mean they can show up at his house. Well, I guess they could threaten litigation and that he must return the belt if he doesn't defend it within that 30 days, even if he's out of contract because it's their property.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's then he it. Could, you're right. You're right. Then he's forced to defend it.
Then you could say, I'm just saying, I mean, that's just a possibility.
Yeah.
And then you could say, then what Punk could tell Vince is say, okay, well, you send Doug Dillinger over with my $10,000 deposit that I put down on the belt. Right?
That's an obscure reference for a few people, but yes, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that makes sense that they go, okay, fine, you left with the belt. Doesn't mean you get to keep it because, actually, you know, it could go into court. But then again, But here's the problem. Punk's character is the type that would go, okay, go into court. I'll have your lawyers meet my lawyers. That'll take 4 years.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just throwing a possibility out there when you got that 30-day rule and such. But you're right. I mean, if he doesn't, he's not going to care because he's left the company. Right,
and so there because is that. He's
just
willing
thrown it out there. I've just come to my mind right now. So
yeah.
So okay. Well, that's CM Punk for an hour. we should talk CM Punk, right?
We should, man.
We talk CM Punk.
We'd probably be even more popular than we are. Though again, we want to thank you again for helping us set a record this last week. We have the best followers in the world listening to us. The best. Absolutely, you guys are awesome. Thank you for your feedback and everything else.
Oh, absolutely. All around the world, and I love it. Let's talk about The Rock.
Let's talk about The Rock.
The Rock.
There's another X Factor, isn't there?
Posting, yeah. You're dealing with the X Factor.
Yeah, except for it doesn't have go away heat. Yeah, it was good theme music. I'll give it back.
Uncle Cracker. But The Rock posts a YouTube video. It was, what, an 11-minute YouTube video?
Yeah, I think even it was 14 minutes and something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all his response to... It's his response to the YouTube video that got up of Australia, of Cena talking shit about him that we had referenced. How Cena had, said, okay, he's fine, he makes more money than me, but I'd rather be a wrestler and make less money, and I'm here and he's not, and... all this type of stuff. And then The Rock basically just, you know, yeah, in response to him, it's to his hot garbage, as they called it.
To Cena's hot garbage. And I mean, it's... But in Australia, yeah, I mean, so
wherever he's shooting a movie from.
Yeah, wherever Rock... No, but I mean, Cena did the comments in Australia, because some people were chanting, Rocky, and he grabbed the mic and started going off on them and saying, The Rock's not here, and blah, blah, blah. So Rock, for 14 minutes, cuts his promo.
And Cena's been continuing to talk lots of shit about him on Twitter.
On Twitter, yes. And yeah. They're keeping the social media... relevance.
I'm not sure about any views The Rock had. I know that we put it on our Twitter. I'm sure it's plenty. Lots of different people have put this video up, so it's a little difficult to ascertain.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
many people have seen it, but it's a lot. The Rock basically, I mean, it's The Rock being The Rock. Rock saying that the reason why his fans are, you know, more into it, the reason why his fans don't like him is because they know The Rock is real and they're seen as full of bullshit. As he put it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great promo. One, obviously, he might have been off a teleprompter, but nobody seemed to write it for him.
It didn't matter. And he talked about how guys like Undertaker and Triple H and Austin and Mick Foley and The Rock paved the way for chicks like Cena.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great stuff.
Oh, that was just tremendous.
Again, it just continues to build up that match and the anticipation, but probably the biggest news coming out of it is that he sits there and goes, I'm going to wait until Mania. The Rock is returning, and it's going to be a very special place. The first place that they chanted The Rock's name. And if you'll remember, mm-hmm. he made his debut, 1996.
Survivor Series,
Madison Square Gardens, Rocky Maivia. And that night, they did chant his name.
And then they were to use the word sucks after it, though.
No, not yet.
Oh.
That first night, he's coming off a bunch of promotional videos debuting him.
They did.
And he came out and had a good reaction. He was a little awkward. He left the ring pretty quickly. It was, I mean, only worked for a little while as Flex Cabana.
Yeah.
Down in developmental territory of what they had that would have been considered developmental. Mm-hmm. Semi Superfly Snuka was the one, I believe, who was the final survivor in that match, if I remember correctly.
No, Rock won.
Did Rock win?
Yeah, Rock. He was the mystery guy. Randy Savage. It's going to be Randy Savage. And it was Superfly.
He won
the Hall of Fame the night before. But it came to Rocky Maivia was the sole man on his team against Crush.
LaFon and Furnas
were
on the other team. No, that's no. right. They debuted that same night against in the tag team one.
In the tag team one.
And they beat Bulldog and Owen. Yeah.
And it came
and that
down.
Was cool. That was great
that
stuff.
That was good. It came down to Convict Crush and Goldust.
That's
against
right.
Against Rocky Maivia.
And he won.
And Rock, yeah, Rock.
And then that first night, I thought, oh, they got something in him. And then shortly after, like everybody else, I turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
But so that makes sense. It seems to be now this year Survivor Series is in Madison Square Garden,
back in MSG. So that seems to be the target for when Rock
so
is going to make his return.
That's not that long, is it?
So what are we? It's about 5 months. Yeah,
what
we got? August, September, October, November. So four and a bit months, yeah.
Yeah, 4 and a bit months. So that's not that long. He's gonna whip John Cena's ass that night.
That's right.
So I mean, there's another storyline. Really good promo. Continuing storyline. Another X factor, like we say,
mm-hmm.
in this whole storyline. Where does he play in with Punk, with Cena? Cena's firing and there all this bullshit is interesting.
Well, and I still like the idea of.
And I've always said I don't think that needs to be for a belt.
Cena's being fired, though, right? How do you bring him back? Well, The Rock makes Vince bring him back.
Yeah.
You know, because he wants to have this match with him.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that that's the way you go, and that's how you can logically and reasonably, though, get out of, you know, painting yourself into a corner, right? That's how you can bring him back.
You know, that's the other thing is you could, I mean, if Rock has time to cut a 15-minute video on YouTube, well, that might have been just an experiment, you know, a first take so that he can cut a pre-taped video for Raw for a week or two to get Cena back, right?
Well, yeah, and I think that, and I do think that that's, you know, you do that. But, I mean, the other thing is you wait a couple weeks, I think. Because, I mean, you talk about, I mean, I don't know that we talked about it on the show or not, but you know, Cena's hurting. You know, Cena's not 100%. Cena's banged up. So a couple weeks off for John Cena not the worst thing in the world here.
No. You know? Absolutely not.
And so...
And as good as he looked tonight, like I say, he always looks a little awkward. There's a lot of good mat wrestling in that match, though. He pulled his weight in that match, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He looked athletic enough. He's just a little awkward just because he's a power lifter, bodybuilder type. Mm-hmm. He doesn't that other type of athleticism. Yeah. But he was looking good in the ring tonight, but he is absolutely, he's hurting.
Not like Shelton. But you look at, I just think that's what you do, is you bring that back. I mean, just interesting that The Rock, that they're keeping this fresh on the social media end of things, the YouTube and the Twitters and such, and that he would, post a video.
Is it them keeping it fresh, or is it The Rock keeping it fresh?
Well, Cena goes in Australia. And cuts the promo too, right? So, I mean,
that's true.
So
it was captured by fan camera, but you have to wonder if that's a plant.
They have to both go on their Twitters.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it is, it's both of them keeping. They're both holding up their end of this.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the first real video that's been made.
This is how you do it, though. If you have a match where it's a year out and the people can't interact together on TV regularly, this is how you keep it. And people just keep the seed planted. Just keep it, on the outer fringe, so to speak.
Exactly.
And before you need to bring it back in.
Well, because what you're doing there too is you're going, these guys really hate each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You're trying to keep it real. I mean, they don't, but you.
Well, a lot of what Rock said though, and what Cena said before, I mean, a lot of what Rock says here seems very much like. It's a great work. Well, it's a great work because it seems like it cuts down Cena's character enough that you're going, there's nothing behind it anymore. You won't,
mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't even want to see him kick his ass because he's cut him down so much. Who cares if he kicks this loser's ass? But because it's The Rock and it's Cena, it's powerful. Like, it's almost too good a work. It's right on that edge, but it is working, though.
Yeah, it's working, yeah. So that's the part, though, that they get the buzz going around that these guys really don't like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the buzz. So, but great video. Survivor Series is where this seems to be leading, and we'll just wait
and
see,
as we go closer, they will start to they'll start to push the fact that Survivor Series is where you'll see The Rock show up, kick Cena's ass. Now we don't actually, I think. You got to be very, very smart about the physical confrontation between these two, because you don't want to have too much before Mania. We've seen that, even though there's several months still until Mania from Survivor Series, we've seen that many times. So you got to be very, very careful on how much physical confrontation they have. But one of the things that was interesting in this video is he directly said, "John Cena, I don't like you, and I don't respect you," which is in direct contrast to what he said the night after Raw, where the Raw after Mania, where he said to him, "You know what? I respect you. I just don't like you." So now it's, "I don't even respect you," which again makes you wonder: is it shoot work? It's that nice fine line where they're playing, but yeah, they have to be really careful. They don't want to give too much. But on the other hand, the idea of The Rock showing up Madison Square Garden, John Cena there, and something happened, buys. There's no way to deny that this company is going to, it seems like the way it is with SummerSlam right now, I don't see how SummerSlam, I mean, this pay-per-view seemed to trend very high with the audience that was watching that 2.9, and I can't imagine at this point SummerSlam not trending very high, not doing a higher buy rate than the previous SummerSlam. With The Rock there, you got their Survivor Series, whatever the pay-per-view is in between, I can't recall.
Hell in the Cell,
Hell
and
the
then
Cell,
there's the other one, Night of Champions,
Night
I
of
think Champ- it is.
Yeah, it's just difficult to not see these doing now, 20, 30, 40% more than the year prior, because you have this Punk thing, because you have The Rock showing up, because just the company is, they can blow it. But right now, it feels like SummerSlam's going to do well.
Again,
Survivor Series is going to do well. So now you just have to fill in the blanks in the other couple.
Just point back to the fact that it took a while, right? It's going to take a while. I don't know if you're looking at...
What do you think
I don't know about
what you're talking about. What do you think this pay-per-view did? I mean, there's almost no question this pay-per-view is up
Domestically is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, domestically. So double what the over the limit and capital punishment is doing, minimum, maybe three times?
Oh, I don't know about that. I would say maybe double, maybe just under. It did about last time, because we were talking 65,000 domestic buys before. So now if we're talking between 100 and 120,000 domestic buys, it's probably realistic.
I think it's closer to 200. I think it's closer to 175, 200.
I don't. I don't think that that kind of radical shift. I mean, I go back to 2.9.
Okay. I go back to the fact that TNA, when they were on Fox Sports, Impact Wrestling now.
Oh.
When TNA was on Fox Sports, they had about 300,000 people watching them every week.
Right.
But they had about 30 to 35,000 pay-per-view buys every month.
Right.
Now they have about 1.6 million people watching them to 1.8,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing about 5 to 10,000 buys, which is
right.
essentially what the word-of-mouth replays were doing when they were on Fox Sports Network.
That's right, yeah.
So
no, and I,
you can, if the audience is into the product, they will purchase it.
Absolutely, and I think I don't know that you're not right. Honestly, I don't. I don't look at a spike that much.
I look at a spike not necessarily in the ratings, but... Like, again, have you galvanized the audience that is watching into paying for what you're doing?
Well, you very well could be right. I said, I'm not to say that you're not. It's just, I said, I'm looking, my prediction.
And either way, when the word comes out on this, that, hey, this was a really good show, and you know, if they have a good Raw rating, even if it is only like a 3.1, but it's up, and it's trending up, and you have The Rock there for Survivor Series, you have SummerSlam coming up.
Oh, they definitely have
like I say, you have two pay-per-views to me that I'm seeing. Those will be a spike from the previous year. Then you have two others where you just have to not screw it up.
And I think that... Yeah, I think that they should be, you know, again, this has been going on for 4 weeks, 3 weeks. You've had three Raws, this will be the fourth Raw, so it's been going on for a month.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they're going in the right way. It's when you talk about faith starting to be restored, you know.
Well, it's like we talk about how we're a week away from your all-time favorite Raw.
We are.
At the time, 14 years ago, the company's business wasn't great, but the audience they did have was really into the product. And they knew it was just a matter of time.
Well, so, you say they were into the product in a live event
situation. The audience that was following was really into it.
Yeah, but they weren't buying.
Well, that's what I said. That the audience that was there was into the product. The audience that was there, you had a competing company that was bigger, but you still had the WWE, the audience that was there was telling everybody, hey, the Raw is actually better now than Nitro. Raw has a more interesting show. And they felt that if they continued to put on the superior product and they continued to do what they were doing, that they were finding something and that it was just a matter of time. They felt they had that feeling. Now, there's desperation. They wanted to find it immediately because they were losing money, but there was a feeling that we just need to get the eyes. We need to do something big enough to get the eyes on the audience. Then they bring in Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike Tyson. Yeah, exactly. And that's the deal, right? So, I mean, you got to figure out how to get more eyes on the product. But, again, slow and steady is starting to win this race. And you know, things are getting to be good. We see improvements up and down the card. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, but I'm optimistic, you know, about the direction
and
of the company going forward.
Even a guy
forward,
like Randy Orton, it's on SmackDown, but Randy Orton was getting a great crowd reaction for everything he was doing tonight. When he came out, his post-match stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about Randy, his facial expressions are really, really good and really control the crowd really well, control his character really well. And you know, he's good at that. I mean, his movements, his understanding of what he's trying to do in the ring is generally very good. You know, somebody else, I'm just going to mention this, actually, Sin Cara, before he got knocked out, was definitely getting a good crowd reaction.
That's
when
what I like about Sin Cara.
When you don't have a mask, it's really, really hard to get that crowd to go behind you because you can't change your face. You have to do it with body language and other movements, and I think he's starting to connect to that crowd and understand how to do that with the American audience more tonight.
Yes.
I think we were seeing that because he was doing things to show that baby face fire. mm-hmm. to get the crowd behind him despite the mask. And that's something he's had to overcome and learn about, and I get the feeling he's getting there.
Yeah,
I think he's definitely moving in the right direction, in-ring and out.
He definitely is. He definitely is. Hopefully maybe against, you know, you talk about him and Sheamus starting some things. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So let's talk about we mentioned last week Ed Koski moving up.
Further news came out
to moving up to the SmackDown head writer. Yeah, and we got some expansion on it from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Essentially, what's happened is that Michael Hayes and also the douche Brian Giewertz,
yes,
have actually been promoted.
King of all douches.
King of all douches. They've actually been promoted. Why wouldn't you, though? Basically what they are is that they're creative overseers,
mm-hmm.
is essentially what it is. It sounds like a...
And that's a position I guess I've thought of Stephanie having for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Creative overseer.
Yeah. Which, I guess now, Vince, Hunter, and Steph are kind of... Obviously, the upper echelon.
Yeah, that's one and
there.
Two, and
then you're looking at Giewertz and Michael Hayes now for both shows. So they'll be able to. So Giewertz is able to fuck up SmackDown now too,
and Hayes
they
is
will
able to
over.
Fix Raw.
They were over. They will oversee it, right? So,
yeah.
And then Ranjan Singh, what's his name? Dave Kapoor is the head writer of Raw now. And Ed Koski, the head writer of SmackDown. So you're going to have the douche and Michael Hayes is that sort of second layer of creative. The third layer is going to be Koski and Ranjan Singh. And then underneath them will be all the other writers.
Okay.
So you've got sort of a four-layered structure to the writing. Well, another thing that Michael Hayes is going to be doing is going to be coordinating with the agents.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of what they want to have happen in the matches. So,
that's
you know,
good.
What you really need to be doing. But that was also something that Johnny Ass had been doing previously.
Yeah.
So now you've got a lack of developmental for Johnny Ass.
With Hunter taking that over.
Hunter's taking that over. And now you've pulled back as well as Ass doesn't need to coordinate with the agents.
But now
anymore,
he can be on camera.
So. But now he gets to be on camera. Now he gets to be on camera.
So now he's basically a 6'5" bodybuilder in a suit who's actually a pussy.
Yes.
So in other words, it's a shoot.
It's a shoot, brother. And hopefully that means that that Johnny Ass is going to be able to fight maybe Howard Finkel in evening gown matches.
I would pay for that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So yeah. There you go. So that's a
or
possibility.
Or Justin Roberts, I'd actually still pay.
Justin Roberts, and then he could tell you how it was real.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was.
Or he wouldn't tell us, but he would tell Les Thatcher how was the show.
It was Les Thatcher, but if you're going to be able to fool anybody, it just.
Yeah, to thinking it's real.
Yeah, it's yeah. Les Thatcher.
It's Les Thatcher.
Yeah,
fuck. Tool.
So that's in a nutshell. Those are the writing.
So the question is, one of the things that I think is being an issue with the writing team has been that they're simply exhausted. Do you think that this puts less pressure on the writers to have to work and come up with the hours and satisfy Vince, who's changing his mind this and back and forth? And is there going to be more structure and more quality control in that way, do you think?
Well, which writers are you talking about? Are you talking about like just the bottom rung?
Well, the entire everybody is exhausted, right? The way that they work them and make them change.
Well, I think Koski and Ranjan Singh.
I mean, the average. How long do people stay on average as a writer? I mean, many of these people. This is the dream job. They get there 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, well, what you look at though is I think Koski and Ranjan Singh have a worse job.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it sounds like a promotion, a glorified head writer, but it sounds worse to me. That, you know, you're going to have, the buck is really going to have to stop with you. But at the same time, if you're an underling there, then all you really have to do is, again, it's satisfying. I look at a corporate structure, right, where you've got your vice president of, let's say, the region. Let's say your district president, right? And then you've got... a supervisor of your department, and then you maybe have an assistant manager, right? So if I'm an underling, I will report to the assistant manager. Well, the assistant manager is basically going to be guiding me and telling me how to be doing these things or what I need to be doing. But the main message is going to come top down, right? So
yeah.
it's still obviously Vince's vision at the end of the day, but you are going to level off, and there's more filters going. So
it does sound like a positive thing, but I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll kind of have to see how it, and it'll probably take the rest of the year, rest of the calendar year, before we kind of get an idea of how it's working.
Well, it's another slow and steady thing, right? Exactly. So, well, that's good. Did you have any other topics? We got an email
Things I want to say. We need to talk some Impact Wrestling. So,
fuck, really?
Yeah, we do. But first off, I just want to say a couple of condolences to Scott D'Amore. Lost his father, Pat D'Amore.
Right.
Our condolences on that.
Yes.
He was 80 years old.
Absolutely.
And Terry Taylor, whose wife had been battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Our most sincere condolences to you, Terry, for your loss in that. So, yeah, do you have anything? Why don't you read the email question, then we'll get to some Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I guess. Well, no, let's do the Impact now, because I don't want to end on Impact.
Okay, all right. A couple things.
We've already been talking about death, so we might as well talk about Impact.
Yeah, yeah. And Terry Taylor. But and somebody who replaced Terry Taylor, actually. I guess we can segue into this.
Okay.
Bruce Pritchard replaced Terry Taylor as head of talent relations for TNA.
He did.
Has stated coming out of the Destination X pay-per-view that they are looking to revitalize that division and continue to add talent coming out of the Destination X pay-per-view.
Oh, good.
And so I'm just wondering, and build it back up to being as strong as it ever was. So
uh-huh.
I just want to know your opinions on that quote from Bruce Pritchard.
Bullshit?
Is that your feeling?
No, I mean, it's just, of course. I mean, we just had this Destination X pay-per-view. Where did he say this?
It was a quote in one of the daily updates.
Okay, so it was like an online type thing?
Yeah, one of these. It was probably like on their website or something.
So someone went on a web. Someone on a website, asked him about the X division. And he said, oh, yeah, we love the X division. We're going to do a great job with the X division. We're going to bring it to new heights, the X division, which is all he's doing is placating to exactly what the what's been said or what he knows. The internet loves the X division. So mm-hmm. What the fuck's he going to say? And that's all he's doing. He's saying, yeah, we're going to make the X division just fucking super fantastic. I'll believe it when I see it. I hope they're sincere. I hope they do it.
Okay.
But, again, when you talk about my faith in WWE, my faith in TNA is...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So...
Speaking of which, going on that, on a related note, Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, in a Destination X recap and on the success of it or lack of success,
mm-hmm.
talked about how little it's likely to make any real impactful changes.
No
regardless,
pun intended.
Yeah, regardless of how popular it was or how good the feedback is or whatever,
and
how unfortunate that is.
It just means they'll do it next year, right? It
yeah.
just means they'll have their once a year Destination X. I mean, they're doing the hardcore shit again,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that probably did above average because they're from last year. Because I'm sure more people cared about ECW from 1998 than care about TNA in 2009 or 2010, right? So.
Now, okay, to hit a couple other Impact Wrestling issues, I have a question for you. I can't remember if we said this. We talked about how Sting became the Crow and it was logical.
Right.
How did he become the Joker? Was there a storyline or was he one day just funny? Like, just strange, just different?
Know. Did he get hit with a bat or I don't even know. I don't even know.
Okay. Well, he is, folks, once again at, what, how old is he now?
99.
So he's... 99?
99.
Okay, so 1 year younger than The Undertaker. He is, once again, TNA's World Heavyweight Champion.
See The Undertaker's new look, by the way?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll pull that up for you in a sec here. And anyway, so while we're talking about Stizzing here, the other guy that 3-10-10 or whatever, 10-10-11, whatever it was going to be.
Yeah.
But Sting...
For the second time, I believe, this year, once again... is heavyweight champion of TNA Wrestling. He defeated Ken Anderson.
Yeah.
For the title at the Thursday night's Impact. On the same are you kidding me? That's the Undertaker now?
That is the Undertaker now.
Oh, my God. Looking a little more like an older Kane.
Yeah, he's bald, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah.
And pale.
He sure
as
hell doesn't have the long hair that we associate with the Undertaker.
No.
Yeah, it looks like an older Kane.
Yeah.
And that's
well, they're brothers.
Because Kane is not exactly young.
But the Undertaker is Kane's older brother.
Yeah. So
it makes sense.
That makes sense. Because Kane's about 97. So
yeah.
That makes sense then.
So there you go. Yeah. See?
So anyways, actually, in real life, who is that? I think Kane is actually the older guy.
I think he is actually older.
I think he's like 4 years older.
Yeah.
He's like 46 compared to 42, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But, so anyways, what was I saying? He defeated Ken Anderson for the title. How it came down was was it Immortal was coming down to help Ken Anderson, who's now joined them finally, you know, after a celebration. They opened the show with him celebrating in the ring with Immortal. Instead of celebrating in the ring, instead of Brian Kendrick celebrating or anything coming off the pay-per-view, him joining Immortal and how proud they were of that and happy they were of that and how it'd be a long road for him to join it and, you know, and he's finally there and now that he's there, you know, he'll be a good little soldier. He's as long as it keeps him the belt and this and that.
Yeah.
Then he loses it that first night.
That's right.
After he joins it, because the different members of Immortal were taken out as the night goes on by Fortune, who were dressed as clowns.
Yes, the clowns. Because Kurt Angle has been a clown before too.
Yeah, well, Kurt Angle was a clown in the main event when Immortal tried to still interfere. A clown came out and helped Sting to win the
belt.
That's
right,
Tanae goes,
that's a different clown.
Yeah, because we could all tell.
You could tell.
And then when he takes off the clown outfit and it's revealed to be Angle. Sting looks at him surprised because I guess he didn't expect help from Angle because Angle is challenging the winner of this match
right.
for the title at Hardcore Justice. So what are your thoughts on Sting as the champion, Sting versus Angle? I guess Sting has defeated Angle before. Angle's never defeated him.
He has, though.
Well, yeah, but that's the storyline. What do you think? Another mistake?
I mean, I don't mind the Sting Joker deal. I mean, the reality is, and as bluntly as I can put this, to quote The Rock, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, Ken Anderson is your champion. Great. Sting is your champion. Great. Kurt Angle is your champion. Great. I mean, Kurt Angle may be the best option of them.
Yeah.
You know, because you basically want to look at maybe some match potential. And you've got that with Kurt Angle and maybe AJ, Kurt Angle and Dan. I mean, you've got some of that potential. Even Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. I mean,
yep.
You know, it's just so, there is potential there. The other thing you look at is that can't see Sting being, if Sting is going to fight Hogan,
yeah.
If that's the Bound for Glory deal, then I almost expect that Kurt will win the title at this Hardcore Justice because the winner of the Bound for Glory series, which wraps up with whatever it is, a three-way? Maybe mm-hmm. Is it the top three guys have a three-way? Or four-way?
I think the top four guys have a four-way.
Four guys have a four-way at the September.
It could be a three-way, but I think it's a four-way.
Okay. Whatever
it's probably your mom more now than when she was 20.
Okay. Well, whatever it is happening, and you get the Winged Eagle belt. But whatever it is... It's happening at the September pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And so, for Bound for Glory. So, you've got August and September for Sting to lose the belt to whoever, because then the Bound for Glory series winner gets
now,
to fight
Kurt
the champion.
Angle, is at Kurt Angle in the Bound for Glory series?
He is not.
Okay.
Because he was already the number one contender.
And we pretty much know that barring injuries keeping him out, and regardless of that, Hulk Hogan appears to be taking on Sting. At Bound for Glory.
That's
but
right.
Then again, Hulk Hogan said the previous week at a convention of some sort
he's
turning babyface now. Or shortly about to turn babyface. So I'm not sure, but in some ways that almost does make sense because, like it or not, Sting and his actions and his clowns are extremely heelish in their actions. So I'm not sure what this means or if it means anything. But
I just think what you do there is, Kurt's a good a choice as any. And then what do you have? You have, like, Kurt against Gunner.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know. You have Kurt and someone.
Or Crimson, or that's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are the favorites now, which to me, that probably won't happen. But Kurt against maybe Bully Ray.
Maybe.
As your, and then you've got Sting and Hogan really, quote-unquote, headlining it, right? And then Angle there for the title. So that,
for the good match, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be probably where
yeah, and some sort of blow-off match between Immortal versus Fortune, you know, this is because
yeah, for the rest of them against exactly yeah. Right. So,
and then one other thing. Speaking of Bound for Glory in Impact Wrestling, they had a promo video for Impact Wrestling. Had a promo video for the Bound for Glory pay per view already. This far out, it was about what?
It's in Philadelphia, is it?
It's in Philadelphia, and is it in November, October? I think it's October.
October.
It's in October. So it's 4 months out, which I guess is about the amount of time that WWE will start to do the promo packages. Well, they did a promo package for traveling. They didn't actually do a promo package for the event tonight.
Well, same thing, though.
Yeah, I suppose. But as a general rule, somewhere around a little bit before or around the Royal Rumble, you'll start to see some promo packages.
Well, and they may point to the sign.
Yeah. So is that somehow for me when it's WWE doing it for WrestleMania, I don't mind. When it's TNA doing it for Bound for Glory, it seems odd to me. It seems
really
too early. And I'm just wondering, is that just me or do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, the reason that it may seem too early, and I mean, I don't have a problem necessarily with it in theory, but in reality, because I mean, Bound for Glory,
back to reality.
Back to life. But no. Back Bound for Glory
reality.
is their WrestleMania.
Would it get us more
right?
Listeners if I sing more?
No.
Okay.
Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, right?
It is, yeah.
They are the only ones that know this.
They're the only ones who give a shit. Which
yes.
is why it seems odd to me.
And
I guess,
that's
because I feel
why.
Like you should be going, just get your next pay-per-view good
yes.
and get people to buy that.
Yes.
Instead of...
But that's,
know,
why, but,
that,
but that's why. But they've done this 4 months out, and so
even
if
Starcade,
you're going to base it on the fact that it's your Starcade, it's your WrestleMania, then okay, it makes sense for you to be promoting it 4 months out. In reality, though, you're right. It seems too soon because it's just another pay-per-view. It's one that they've consistently taken on the road.
It's the one that actually
right?
does the rate or the pay-per-view buys that that they used to do when they were on Fox Sports, and then around 30 to 35,000. So it's doing three
well,
to
once.
Four times. No, that's about what it does now. It's 30 to 35.
Oh,
that's
yes.
What it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. I mean, and they have because they have figured out a way to build it up, and they've got this. I said
as
they're going to
stupid
do,
a name as Bound for Glory is.
Well, I know it is. It really
it
is.
It doesn't stand out for. I don't hear Bound for Glory and think it sounds any more like a big event than Genesis or.
Well, Bound for Glory is not
no
a Phil
surrender
Collins.
Or.
It has nothing to do with Phil Collins, though. Bound for Glory.
Yeah,
so
good
that
point.
Stands out.
That's
so,
the way it does sound out.
But the thing is
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
There's no difference.
Destination X. I don't know. But I mean, the thing is, I just look at if you're going to build your angle, you're going to build it up, and then okay, then that's fine. Because
but even Starcade, you know, I don't remember them really. You always knew it was the big event, but I don't remember them.
The pushing, granddaddy of them
I don't
all.
Remember them pushing a video package several months out when WCBW.
No,
because
you know,
they had actually other pay per views that. You know, had a little cachet to them, I suppose.
Well, they
the
had
Halloween Havoc.
Your Fall Brawl.
Yeah.
Your Halloween Havoc. Your Starcade. I mean, a lot of theirs were. I mean, WCW, say what you will, had more pay-per-views on than they did off. I mean, when you talk about your January one, whatever that was, no good. Sold out, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But then you had your Super Brawl.
Yep.
Right? In February.
Great American Bash.
Great American Bash. Bash at the Beach or Beach
yep.
Blast. That one kind of synonymous with it. And then you had some of your B shows like your Spring Stampede.
Yeah.
Your Uncensored was your hardcore deal.
Was Spring Stampede the one where they had their Hall of Fame? What was the one where they had
no,
the Hall
that
of Fame?
No, that was Slamboree.
Slamboree, okay.
Yeah. Slamboree 93, a Legends reunion.
There you go.
And then it just became Slamboree. Then you had Road Wild, right? It was just to go to Sturgis and do that bullshit.
Yep. Yep.
But and then World War III.
World War III, yeah.
Right? It was your thing. It was your big battle royally thing. So, I mean, you did have, so, you know, you had some, but they probably had, of the year, they probably had a big six or a big seven.
I think
so,
yeah.
You could point out that, you know, would had a name and had some things go on. So, I mean, but you're right. I think with TNA, it's just a matter of getting each show better and people will continue to buy. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
The same as WWE, what we're talking about now with these, some of these, you know, Night of Champions and all those sorts of things, right? So I look at that. I mean, we talk about how Bound for Glory goes on the road consistently, so that's why it seems like a bit. Impact going to be going on the road now at the end of August. And I believe in September and October. They've got one per month now.
Okay.
That they're taking on the road.
And they record two shows at that. At that one event, is that
haven't, I haven't heard that
I believe,
much.
I believe that's what they'll be doing. That's certainly what they did when they were in Fayetteville, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they did. And I suspect that's what they'll be doing, because otherwise the production costs don't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's fine. I mean, so it's good. If they can, you know what? Even if you can't afford it, you got to suck it up. You got to do it. I just hope that they're able to get a good crowd consistently to make themselves look big. But it's also, it's not just the good crowd. It's how much the Impact Zone has go-away heat to a lot of people as well, the audience there.
You do need to expand the audience. That's how you grow. I mean, you have to be able to get out and reach new people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whether this works or not, we'll see. You talk about whether they lose money or not. I don't think so. I think if you're going to lose money, then just stay in the Impact Zone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not worth it. You know, you're just bleeding money and you don't have a lot to spare.
Yeah.
So I just think if you're going to do it that way, but they are going to give it a try. And again, I mean, it's a start. Going out, you know, once a month you'll tape two in the Impact Zone, you'll tape two on the road, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, that's going to be good. And maybe, I don't know, is one live? They're doing them on Thursday, I think. So
I don't know. I mean, that cost, that's extra cost, right?
That is extra cost, too.
So, but, I mean, we'll see. Also, Orlando Jordan and Generation
and
Me.
And the Young Bucks, Generation Me, yeah.
Orlando Jordan was fired. Generation Me, I understand, did ask for a release.
They
were let go, yeah. Any thoughts there?
Nope.
Okay. Well, there's two more X-Division guys gone and a tag team gone, but I don't think it matters at all.
Nobody cares. The X-Division.
Nobody cares about Orlando Jordan.
No, God, no.
No, so...
No, I mean, that was just a waste. That does point out, though, that other than Hogan, Hardy, and Flair, that was the last guy that Bischoff and Hogan brought in with them
That's
at
true.
That January 4th relaunch. Because the Nasties
true,
are gone, Val Venus
Val
is gone,
Venus, yeah.
Lando Jordan gone now, too, so...
Matt Hardy stated that he had... due to food poisoning, dropped down to 204 pounds.
Ooh.
But that he'll get back to
so
it.
So he can be an X-Division.
With this came word that TNA had requested both that he and Jeff Hardy would attend rehab, and WWE had also previously requested this of both of them, and they both turned it down. Any
right.
further thoughts? Anything new there?
There's nothing new. It's the same old, same old. We know apparently a Jeff Hardy two-disc DVD TNA is putting out in October.
Yeah, which I imagine has to feature a lot of... I mean, if you have the asset, you might as well use it. And I figure it has to feature a lot of his stuff from his first run as well.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do two discs, then you'd focus in on the whole thing. So
yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's the Hardys, the Hardy soap opera continues. So.
Yeah, and Jeff, once again, it looks like he's continuous in his court case, shortly to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Yes.
Of course. All right, well.
ROH is, went there, it is news that with their purchase by Sinclair,
mm-hmm.
Sinclair also does get their entire tape library. Do you think they could try and do anything new with that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe eventually, but I mean, I don't know that, I mean, you could put it some best ofs, I guess,
yeah.
is the only thing that that you could really do, but I don't think, again, I mean, Sinclair, it's better than Kerry Silken in terms of financial position,
mm-hmm.
but this isn't Ted Turner buying WCW. This isn't a billionaire multimedia conglomerate that's purchased, you know, Ring of Honor here. So they're more solid and we know they're going to be around, and they're getting guys under contract and stuff. But again, they're also in marathon, not sprint position here in terms of that. So I think down the road, yeah. But right now, I don't think you do anything imminent with it. I don't know that you can do anything.
They have a lot of terrific matches and interesting stuff in their tape library, actually. So it'd be nice if they could do something with it.
Anybody that really, really, really wants to see that still can.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Well, that can be said of WWE. If I want to see anything on WWE, I still can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You still watch Vintage every week.
I love Vintage, yes. Yeah. Even if Jack Carpella is hosting.
Yeah.
Mean Gene was on assignment.
Okay, should we get to...
Not sure. Maybe a Mean Gene Burger's
open. I think the game that I have prepared this week we'll skip. Should we get to our guest?
Well, we have an email.
Okay, let's get to the email. Let's do that.
They want to talk about from...
Well, we can do the guest and get back to the email, talk a little rustling at the end.
Well, we did get an email from... we may have to save our guest for the next show, because we're at an hour, almost an hour here.
I think we should get our guest on.
But we've got an email from the Bannable.
Again.
He's back.
Awesome.
And his question was with relates to Hogan versus Flair. And he wants to know our opinion. Could Hogan versus Flair have worked as well in the WWF as it did in WCW? He notes that they had it set for WrestleMania and they pulled the plug on it because in there they thought it was disappointing. And... but then it went over in WCW, and they had the Bash at the Beach 94 match, and it got over really well. So we wanted to know if we thought that it would have worked as well in WWF as it did in WCW.
Do you want to go first, or you want me to?
Oh, you can go first, sure.
I'm not sure that it... I mean, yeah, when Hogan came there, he faced Ric Flair. There was a problem with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan in that... their in-ring chemistry, and it wasn't even that they disliked each other or that they... Vince McMahon at the time talked about how the different size between the individuals was a problem, why he didn't want to put them together, but that was kayfabe. I mean, obviously Hogan had taken on Savage and such. There was just an issue, for some reason, as good a worker as Flair is, and Hogan... well, not a great worker, understood psychology and how to get over, their matches were never good. They just did not have in-ring chemistry together. And that was evident right from the beginning. The fact that they did business in WCW, Hulk Hogan could have debuted against almost anybody and do business.
Right.
Because it was his first time. It did help that it was Ric Flair. But a little bit of a luster in WCW was off of it because it was kind of like, oh, we already should have seen this in the WWF. And it felt almost like sloppy seconds.
Do you think so?
Some degree. I think so. You did have... and then, of course, they had a stupid, stupid angle. If you'll remember, when they finally had them meet for the title, Hogan wins it, and Sherry Martel was in the ring, in the crowd, dressed as a man, trying to get involved in the match. And,
yes.
You know, all this type of bullshit. Instead of just having a straight match, that same night they had, Mr. T back, backstage to try and give the rub. They're really, really trying to recapture previous things. It didn't work. As far as the WWF one, there would have been more interest in Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania than there was Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice and Hulk Hogan or in Ric Flair versus Randy Savage. There's absolutely no question it would have been. In ring, it wouldn't have been as good, but it would have done more buys. But the problem wasn't largely – the problem really wasn't even that they were disappointed in it or that their house show loop hadn't done – as well as they had hoped. It hadn't quite, but a lot of the problem was, what do you do in the match? If Hulk Hogan wins, if Randy Savage wins in the way he won, you could have a rematch. Hulk Hogan wins, it kind of kills the feud. It was difficult to see it going over. On the other hand, Hulk Hogan couldn't just outright lose, even be screwed at Mania by Flair. So it became a kind of there was a large political issue going on backstage there. You had a lot of stuff happening and why you couldn't come to a proper conclusion. You couldn't really have Flair lose. You really couldn't have Hogan lose. Hogan didn't want to lose. They wanted him to.
Hogan
did not want to lose because they felt that was the right thing to keep it going. It was a large, I guess, clusterfuck, for lack of a better word.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that part of... what I remember when they did it, finally did it in WCW 2 years after they had sort of teased, and of course they did some house shows, but on a large scale.
Yeah, there was a Madison Square Garden event, which was televised with Hogan versus Flair.
That's right.
Very early on.
Yeah. And
that was probably their best match they ever had, and even that was like 2 stars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just I think part of it, though, was that, yeah, even though Flair came in as the real world's champion, and you talk about the ego part of it, right, and how they weren't gonna get the WCW champion isn't going to beat the WWF champion,
no,
right,
exactly.
in the WWF.
But on the other hand, that was the right move for business, so it becomes very
but
difficult.
When you come down to WCW now, it's something that WCW being the secondary company, number two at the time, right, was something that they didn't have a problem. I remember watching the Bash at the Beach promo. It's, you know, it's the, whatever he was, the 10-time or 11-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
I believe he was, at the time, was listed as, yeah, an 11-time.
Whatever he was, the 11-time.
And Hulk Hogan was listed as, like, a 6-time World Champion.
No, well, the 11-time versus the 5-time WWF Champion.
I believe it was 6, because I think they counted, didn't he win a Japanese World title or something
no,
like that?
No, but they never said that. They said
okay.
The 5-time WWF.
Five, yeah.
And they even said 5-time WWF champion.
Yeah.
Right? That was what they'd said in
that's
the
right.
in the promotion of it all. And that part
and
of
that's
me,
what Michael Buffer said, you're right, in the ring.
Yeah.
In the ring.
And
that yeah.
part of me and even at the opening, like
yeah.
it's Bash at the Beach 94, the 11-time WCW champion against the 5-time WWF champion. Like it's so it but to me that made it work in a way that WWF couldn't.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't. Do and they shouldn't have done, quite frankly, is you know, they always ignored WCW. I mean, as close as they got was bringing this title belt, right?
Yeah.
Was Ric Flair's title belt. And I just have a feeling that for business, it didn't much matter anyway, because
yeah.
Hogan was going to do what Hogan was going to do. I mean, whether Hogan always beat Flair in WCW or Hogan always beat Flair in WWF, Hogan was always going to beat Flair.
Yep.
Right? Did Flair ever beat Hogan?
No.
No,
and,
exactly.
And that's
like, right?
He did win the title back from him at one point, but it's some sort of screw job thing.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it was like some sort of disqualification where Hogan could win the belt or something. Or
yeah.
Lose the belt. Yeah, something
what?
Like that.
That
yeah.
never happened.
Yeah. But it, unfortunately, it did. And that's the other thing you can say. Did it work in WCW? WCW was going, this is our guy. Hogan's our guy now. We have no problem putting him over. He's not WWF. We're not endorsing WWF.
Right.
This is our guy. It's no problem. There wasn't that same dynamic. It
no.
was, we're going to embrace this guy. This is our future. We're going to embrace him. He's only like 41 at the time.
Yeah, yeah,
42,
yeah.
You know?
But no, but you're right. I mean, that's what it is that the WCW was more willing. They didn't have that ego, that political minefield, that bullshit. It was getting in the way of the match, like
they
WWF
had
him
signed
right?
long term. I think 3 years at the time, or something.
Yeah.
Like that, 3-4 years. Yeah,
and this was his first event, his first match, and it's the dream match, and it's like getting the dream match out of the way, getting them some buzz. What bigger way to get Hulk Hogan in than the match that everybody wanted to see?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, but again, I think that WCW, the way that they operated, would accept Hogan's history,
yeah,
not being with them, and accept this as a dream match, whereas WWF was going to be making an angle around it, right? It was
yeah.
going to be something that there had to be some personal issue between Hogan and Flair to
yeah.
make this a WWF issue, not a WWF versus WCW, even though he brought in the title belt of the real world's champion.
And that was the idea in the house show loop. But
that was, yeah.
yeah.
But then, and then he won the title at the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
Flair did. So now he's a WWF champion, so that got rid of the WCW belt anyway.
Yeah.
So it would have been something that Hogan, you can't beat me, I can beat you. They would have done some sort of dastardly thing on a Brother Love show or something, or on the main event, or something that would have fueled the fire, and it would have been all about that versus all about the two biggest names in our sport.
Which is really
colliding.
What should have sold it. Yeah, so to answer your question, Hannibal, and thank you very much for sending it, and we would
Bannibal.
Want Bannibal, I'm sorry. Everybody, you know, tweet us or email us. We're happy to receive responses.
Yeah,
from
Mo
you.
Could get your name wrong, too.
Yeah, well, I do. It's a We Talk Wrestling tradition.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so the Bannibal, thank you very much. But to answer your question, it would have done more business for them and being bigger at WrestleMania, anything else they could have done, or bigger than it ever was for WCW. But on the other hand, it just... there was really no way to make it work.
I don't think
it
could have worked.
Especially long term, it wasn't there.
Could have worked as well? I say no. I mean, it had the potential, of course.
Yeah, because it had a one-time buy that was bigger.
It had the machine behind it, right? It had a bigger marketing machine behind it, so in that sense, it could have. But
one time, yeah.
I just would say, would it have worked better? I don't think in reality it would have and could have.
And keep in mind, as much as you say that it worked in WCW, and it did, I mean, it helped them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Still a couple years, and WWF didn't have Hogan. It still was number one for a long time. Still a few years before, you know, took over.
Yeah, years.
And it was, you know.
Well,
that
I think
was,
they were going back and forth, though.
Yeah, they were kind of, it brought them closer.
I think 95 was kind of.
Yeah, they brought them closer to level, but still they didn't overtake WWF at the time.
Consistently.
No, and they didn't do that off of Flair and Hogan. They didn't do that until NWO and starting to with Flair and Savage, and that was an angle that wasn't about the belt, that was about the ex-wife and alimony and all that shit.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, yeah.
Right? So, all right, well, speaking of Hogan,
yeah,
did we hit the our weekly segment? I think we got too late for the guest. I think we will save the guest until next week.
All right, you're right. We should go out with our regular tradition of a joke. Why did Frosty the Snowman pull down his pants?
What about the...
Because he saw the snowblower coming.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Okay, the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. Hulk Hogan, shortly after signing with TNA, just before debuting, said that he ran into a WWE performer at an airport.
Okay.
And the WWE performer told him that the office was really worried about TNA now, but that every single guy in the locker room was cheering them on.
To succeed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? That's tremendous bullshit.
That is.
Well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't be cheering on the Hulkster brother?
Tremendous. Just Hulk Hogan.
That is tremendous
bullshit.
I love that. I love Hulk Hogan. But anyway.
Oh, we got so fucking many.
I know. We will never run out of this.
We'll never run out.
All right. Well, plug time. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website where you find all the shows, all our blogs. It's Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com. Just sent me an email, Mo, at WeTalkPodcast.com to send Mo an email. Twitter, we're at WeTalkWrestling, and I think that's about all the ways to get us.
No, I'm just going to say, if you just want to send a general email, you can also send that to Wrestling at WeTalkPodcasts. And because we have it will be debuting. It looks like the labor strike is up. We Talk Fantasy Football will debut in August, barring the labor agreement not being resolved, which I believe it will be.
Perfect.
So, anything you want to talk to us about that fantasy football one, just email that. That's a general show.
Email it to the Wrestling at WeTalkPodcasts.com.
And therefore, my co-host for that, which will not be Addy,
nope,
unfortunately be somebody else, will have an opportunity to see it there.
Right. All right. Well, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.